In a few minutes, a business story about harvesting the essence of youth from younger people. First, new sanctions on Russia could be on the way. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives could vote as early as tomorrow to enact new sanctions on Russia for interfering in the U.S. presidential election and for aggression toward its neighbors. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me here. Annie, what do we know about this new package of sanctions?
The measure contains stiff economic penalties, not just against Russia, but also Iran and North Korea. And it would require that President Trump get permission from Congress before easing any penalties against Moscow. The bill has bipartisan support and would reportedly tighten restrictions on the extension of credit to Russian entities and limit U.S. individuals' partnerships with Russian businesses in energy and defense. White House spokespeople offered conflicting accounts over the weekend as to whether President Trump would sign the measure. Meanwhile, the Financial Times says that the European Union is gearing up to retaliate against the sanctions, fearing they could affect European companies. The European Commission president is reportedly calling for a review of the sanctions.
Annie, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London, the FTSE, is down 0.9%. The DAX index in Germany down 0.6%, with about 2.5 hours here before the opening bell on Wall Street. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down minus 19 points for the Dow future. Trade representatives from the U.S. and the U.K. meet today in Washington. It's the first round of talks, with Britain resigning from the EU, and what kind of trade relationship the U.S. and the U.K. might have in the aftermath. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
There's only so much U.S. and British negotiators can work out in advance. That's because we still don't know what Brexit will look like. In the meantime,
they'll start thinking about working groups, what are their offensive and defensive interests, what kind of things they might have in common.
American University's Michelle Egan researches trade issues at the Wilson Center. She says talks are likely to focus on the steel trade, the pharmaceutical industry, and financial services.
The British are worried about all these financial services exiting and going to Frankfurt, going to Dublin.
But even successful talks between the U.S. and Great Britain can only do so much. David O'Sullivan is the EU's ambassador to the U.S.
The European Union remains by far the biggest trading partner of the United Kingdom, and no trade deal with the United States is going to substitute for that.
He says still it makes sense both sides would want to get the basics worked out in advance. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Now to an emerging biomedical industry, blood from the young helping the old. Famed venture capitalist Peter Thiel was quoted a while back suggesting this looked interesting. Tim Cross, science correspondent for The Economist magazine, has been researching what's called parabiosis. Welcome, Tim.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So the TV show Silicon Valley has joked about it. Your piece says we should not mention vampires, but there's some interesting animal evidence that sharing a circulatory system with a younger creature helps the older creature.
That's right. I mean, it's based on this sort of slightly gruesome set of experiments you can do where you basically take two lab animals, mice or rats or whatever, you sort of wound them and you stitch them together in such a way at the site of the wound that as they heal, their circulatory systems kind of merge. And it turns out if you do this with one mouse being young and one mouse being old, you can get some quite impressive rejuvenatory effects in the old mouse.
All right. So they're taking a look at if what we've discovered in animals might be in some way applicable to human beings?
There are at least a couple of companies who've jumped right into doing human trials. So there's one called Alkahest, which is looking at whether this might work for people with Alzheimer's disease, because some of the mouse results show that one of the things that gets better is sort of mental capacity.
There's also an interesting, call it a clinical trial, experiment in which the participants actually pay to be in the trial. Normally, it's the other way around with a trial.
This is another company called Ambrosia, and you have to pay $8,000 to take part. Anyone over 35 can pay to take part. You get blood transfusions from somebody under the age of 25. A lot of the time with these trials, they'll give some people the treatment and some people something called a placebo. Ambrosia say they aren't going to do that because they don't think that having asked people to pay $8,000 for this treatment, they don't think they can risk them them getting a placebo. So that's caused, I guess, some sort of raised eyebrows among the researchers who look into this stuff for a living.
All right. So we should emphasize, though, they're doing the basic science here. This is not something that's close to being a treatment that might be available in a more widespread way.
It seems to work in the lab on mice. It doesn't necessarily always work. If you try and do something that's a bit closer to blood transfusions, because obviously you don't want to be thinking about stitching human beings together, it seems to do something but doesn't have quite the same level of benefits as the sort of full-on treatment does. I think these human trials are kind of a shot in the dark. I mean, it may be that they work, but I think, you know, it would be kind of impressive if they did.
And Tim, you just need to assure me that youngsters are not going to have to get grafted onto an old venture capitalist.
That's not any plan I'd want to be part of, put it that way.
Tim Cross, science correspondent for The Economist magazine. Mr. Cross, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And it's been about a month since the U.S. Supreme Court threw out the longtime law prohibiting disparaging and or offensive trademarks. Well, the news agency Reuters just checked, and since then, at least 9 individuals and companies have filed for trademarks using racially charged words, plus one swastika. A Virginia consultant who helped with some of these filings explained himself by suggesting that saturating the market with offensive words might drain the words of their power. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.